accession number 18263, reel 5.
As I was saying, the colour sergeant will bring up this naffy supplies, and having been paid in Bath money, we would purchase whatever he wanted to purchase, whatever he had. Now, we were always hungry. It may well be that we were young and healthy and the climate and the exercise we were taking, but we all seemed to be constantly hungry. We'd eat anything. And when he came up, we wouldn't buy a bar of chocolate, we'd buy a box of it. And we'd buy the whole box. Say there was 24 bars in a box, and we'd buy the box, or box of Mars bars. It was always, everything we bought was the lot. And we'd buy tins of fruit, like tins of apricot, massive tins, great big tins, and then a tin of carnation milk. And we would devour the lot virtually in one go. We couldn't keep it anywhere. There was no such thing as a fridge. So we'd open the tin and devour the lot. We'd just keep pouring this carnation milk in it. We were that hungry. But with this Bath money, he would, if something was, say for instance a bar, I'm just guessing now, say for instance a bar of chocolate was 5p in old money, 5p in the old imperial coinage. We couldn't pay 5p. You'd have to pay 6p. Because there was no way of getting to 5p. Well, if the box had 24 bars of chocolate in it, or 12 bars, you bought 12 bars, he would charge you 12 bars at 6p, not 12 bars at 5p, and come to the nearest whatever it came to. Like, and so this really wound us up. We were getting really mad at this, but being in the army in those days, authority being what it was, it was difficult to question it. But there was an occasion. This had been going on for quite some time, and there was an occasion when, I don't even know for what reason it was, but some of us were obliged to go down to the echelon, A echelon, which was, I don't know, 5 miles behind the front line, wherever it was. It was where the battalion commander would be, and where the colour sergeants had their stores, and where the colour sergeant bivouacked, or whatever. We also knew that the quartermaster sergeant there was down there, and the quartermaster, which would be a captain or something like that, in charge of stores. And so we decided, a group of us decided, when I say a group, I say 4 or 5 of us were going back down there for some reason, probably to collect something and or do some work. And we decided that we'd approach this quartermaster, who was a captain, and complain about this situation, this state of affairs. So I was elected as spokesperson. So we went back, and two of us, when we told him, when we asked to see this captain, two of us were allowed to go and see him. You know, I don't know, really, I don't think there was any more reason. He just didn't want a crowd of us barging in on him. So two of us went in there, and I was elected as spokesman. So he asked us what it was about, and we explained the situation. And we said, you know, this is not on. We're paying through the nose for goods that we shouldn't be paying this much, simply because the excuse about the Bath money, you know. So he said, right, he'd look into it. By the time I got back to the front line, we'd completed whatever task we had to do, and that same day, go back to the front line. The time I got back to the front line, there was a message waiting for me. The company commander wants you in the CP, command post. Went over to the company commander, which was the chap in the book. Went over to see him. He blasted me, the quartermaster had obviously been straight on the radio or the field telephone or something to report what I'd said. He'd broken the confidence that we'd asked him to have. I remember being called something in the terms like snotty-nosed little brat, you know, not a soldier, you know, serving in the front line. I was given a real roasting by the major, shortly after, given another roasting, when the occasion arose, by the colour sergeant. And then I was given a reason. I said the reason they said that we'd been overcharged to this degree was the fact that they were waiting till we come out of the line, and then we were going to have a bit of a do where we'd be supplied with free beer. Now, the excuse seemed to me very lame, because at the time, why couldn't you tell us at the time when this started happening? We were never told, so we didn't accept the excuse. Mind you, when we did come out of the line, we did have a bit of a do, and we got one bottle of beer each. And so, of course, that didn't go down well. And then there was the time when, which, you know, the confirmation of how hungry we were, when Arthur Helliwell, an investigative journalist with the Sunday People, came to Greer, which must have been in about the spring of 52, perhaps late spring of 52. He interviewed our number one platoon, which I wasn't a member of, but I was sent the printed copy. It was a full page, I think it was about page two of the Sunday People, a full copy, a full page he'd written, entitled Hungry Hill, which went into great detail about just how hungry we were. We were getting food, no doubt about it, and the food we were getting was good food, but we weren't getting sufficient food. And we were hearing stories where, when we were on combat rations, the officers and sergeants were eating fresh food, and we were getting stories where there was all sorts of delicacies, if you like, available that we weren't getting. You know, like chicken and ham and stuff like that. We didn't seem to be getting any of it. There was lots of little things like that that used to annoy us. I remember the instance where rum ration, we understood, now I could be mistaken, is it, but we understood that in the really freezing weather in the winter, which went on for weeks and weeks, it wasn't just one or two days, it went on for weeks, you know, when the temperature was well below zero all day long, let alone nights, we were to be issued a small tot of rum at nights. Well, for some reason or other, we could actually see some of it being delivered, these glass things, I don't want to call flagons or something, huge glass things full of rum with little handles on them, and they were clear glass, and they would be delivered, you know, by jeep or by the colour sergeant or somewhere, and they would go invariably to the CP, command post. But the rum ration was never issued nightly. There was never a rum ration. It was issued only when you come back from a patrol. So if you was on two patrols a week, you'd get two nips. If you was on one, you'd get one nip. But where was all of it going that we understood? We had our guesses where it was all going.